Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Masjid Darus Salam, Toronto, Canada. Monday after Dhuhr Salah, 26th of Ramadan, 6th of September 2010. When a person can be valuable. Believer, non-believer, and hypocrites are described in Surah Baqarah. The explanation of Ibadat. Recitation of the Quran Kareem is presented by the son of our guest speaker, and then the bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahman Lambat Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى ألم يكن طفة من مني فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العظيم.
It is mentioned if there's a fire burning on a mountain, then from very far you can see that fire. But the actual heat of that fire you can't get from so far. You'll have to go close to the mountain, close to the fire, then you'll get the heat. So exactly the same, the words of Allah and His beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran Sharif has got spiritual heat. You might be able to hear the bayan right outside because of the mic system, whatever. But the actual heat, the actual nur, and the benefit of the bayan, you'll only get the closer you sit to the speaker. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to always have this eagerness for deen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihaza wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمه ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين أستغفر الله أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل لقد نسبت به نسل الذي أقمي أمرتك الخير لكن ما تمرت به وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقمي يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبه نلقاه والأكم روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and friends, as is the practice of my very honorable, illustrious Ustad and Sheikh, my spiritual mentor, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab Dawan Barakatum, the principal and rector of Darul Mazad in South Africa, Hazrat mentions that before every talk, before every majlis, firstly make muzakara, discuss one of the sunnahs of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not just a formality, it's not just a way of starting the talk. It is actually, in reality, we should be very grateful and fortunate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have kept in our midst such great learned scholars and such great friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the time they have got their fingers on the pulse of the ummah. That what is the bimari, what is the spiritual bimari of the ummah at present. And when they find the spiritual sickness of the ummah, accordingly they give us an ilaj. And today if we see the condition of the ummah generally, one very great disease in the ummah is that we suffer from a so-called inferiority complex. We feel shy to adorn the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas Allah Rabbul Izzat has kept beauty only and only in the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what great kindness, what great affection, like that father who loves his children so much, and what great kindness and affection he gives advice to his children. And then to make them realize how important is that advice, he stresses it also. So more loving than all the parents in the world, more loving than all the mothers in the world, Allah who is an embodiment of love. Can you imagine how much Allah loves His bandas? Allahu Akbar. Allah loves His whole creation. Forget the insan, Allah loves the most. But Allah Ta'ala loves His whole creation. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that a Muslim, you should take care of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should take care of the animals also. You should take care of the vegetation also. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command us and present to us only those things that are good for us. And those people who become closer to Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala loves them even more and more. Just to give you a glimpse and understanding how much Allah ta'ala loves His creation. And from the creation, the most special of all, Ashraful Makhlukat, this insan, how much Allah ta'ala loves insan in general, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. Then in particular, the Muslims, Allah loves them even more than those who become the friends of Allah. Allahu Akbar, what can be said of the love Allah ta'ala has got for them? For example, the love Allah ta'ala has got for all human beings in general. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned in the narrations. And with regard to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Rabbul Izzat says that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam gave da'wah to his people for 950 years. 950 years daily toiling just for one great effort, and that is to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is real work. That is our actual job. That is what Allah ta'ala has created us for, to find Allah and to bring others close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have misunderstood what is our responsibility, and we think our job is, what is our occupation, that's supposed to be secondary. Our main job as believers is to find Allah, to recognize Allah, and then to join our people with Allah Rabbul Izzat. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. Allah Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, after 950 years, he is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, inni da'utu qawmi layla wa nahara. Day and night I spend my life in your command of calling my people towards getting connected to you, oh Allah Rabbul Izzat. Falam yazidum du'ai illa firara. But what was the effect? Their hearts have become so hard. They were so engrossed in materialism, so attracted to the dunya, that instead of getting close to you, O Allah, they rather started running away more from me. And they rather started mocking the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great danger when a person loves his life in unmindfulness, and a person loves his life in a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not able to differentiate what is good for you and what is bad for you. What is harmful for you, you will regard that as good for you. And what is good for you, you run away from that. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, فَلَمْ يَزِدُمْ دُعَائِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. Whenever I went to call them and give them da'wat, they had the audacity, instead of listening to the Nabi, they used to put their fingers in their ears. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I used to speak loud, that even if their fingers are in their ears, I'll speak louder, they can hear. They used to take their chadars and scarves and they used to cover their faces. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, my nation has become so hard. Now it seems that there's no way out that they will get hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knew this fact. So Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam is making this dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat. That, oh Allah, these people have become so hard-hearted. They are not prepared to accept my da'wat. They are not prepared to become Muslims. They are not prepared to bring iman in you, O Allah Rabbul Izzat. And if you leave them on the face of the earth, O Allah, innaka intadharhum yudillu ibadaka wala yalidu illa fajiran kafara. The result will be, if you leave them to stay on the earth, instead of goodness spreading now, they'll only spread evil and corruption on the earth. There'll be only corruption on the earth. There'll be only vice and evils that will take place on the earth. So Allah, you make your decision. You make your faisla now. Rather wipe them out from the face of the earth. So the dua of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after 950 years, with what pain, with what love, he called his people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting the dua of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala's decision was going to come, that now Allah was going to send a flood. But outward conditions always look contrary to what is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not be overtaken by outward conditions. Allah Rabbul Izzat at that time, in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, there was total drought. No sign of any rain whatsoever. Allah ta'ala commanded Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that now you build an ark, you build a ship. Because very soon I'm going to send a flood. And all those people that brought Iman, after 950 years, it is mentioned in the books of Tafsir, Ahadith, that only about 80 to 85 people accepted Islam. So what we learn from this also, that any good you do, don't stop doing it good. Keep on doing it, keep on doing it. For example, if you are encouraging somebody that don't smoke, it is very, very unhealthy. And you told him one time, two times, three times, now you say, no, I won't tell him because he doesn't listen. So ulama have explained that you have stopped doing one good, he is carrying on doing his bad. No, you should carry on doing your good, maybe after the 20th time, after the 50th time, after the 100th time, he will get hidayat. So don't stop doing the good. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did this work for 950 years continuously. Then Allah ta'ala commanded him, now build this ark. And his people became so audacious and so disrespectful to him, that now they told him, you see, you acted like a big Nabi. Now you became a carpenter, you're building a ship. Allahu Akbar. When we don't understand, when our minds become blocked, when our hearts become dark with guna, then our intelligence also becomes warped. And we don't realize we utter bad statements to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very, very dangerous. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam carried on his command. He built his ship. When the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and rains came down from the skies, at that time Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, with what feeling, telling his son, Ya bunayyir kam ma'ana, wa la takum al kafirin. Oh my blood son, my beloved son, jump into the ship with us. Don't be amongst the kafirin. Bring iman at this time also. But it can be your own son also. So we shouldn't feel happy that I'm a son of a very big Mulana. I'm a son of a very big Sheikh. You can be the son of a Nabi also. You can be the wife of a Nabi also. But if you don't reform your own life, you will cause destruction to yourself. He had the audacity and says, Ya bunayyir kam ma'ana, wa la takum min al kafirin. Qala sa'awi ila al jabal, ya'simuni min al ma. That, oh my father, you don't worry. There's big, big mountains. I will take protection behind the mountains. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam warned him, La asim al yawma min amrillah. Today is the command of Allah. Nobody will get protection. While the discussion is taking place, Allah ta'ala sends the floods and they are all wiped out. Anyway, I'm not going into that discussion. What I want to show, the love of Allah ta'ala for his creation. After Allah ta'ala destroyed all the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala wiped them out and they were destroyed. Then Allah ta'ala, to show Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam his love for the creation, for all those human beings that Allah ta'ala had to destroy, Allah ta'ala, it comes in the books of hadith, that Allah ta'ala instructed Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that now you should make 1,000 earthenware pots. In other words, clay pots. Make it with your own hands. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, again the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was the jazbah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their vicegerents, the pious servants, whatever the command of Allah ta'ala is, whether we understand it, we don't understand it, it is the command of Allah, I will be obedient to it. Today we want to make our intelligence our God. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has given a very, very beautiful statement. All his statements are so beautiful, but some of them are so outstanding. We should write it in gold in our hearts, so that it penetrates the heart. He says, "Akal ku khahish par ghalib rakho. Akal ku khahish par ghalib rakho. Aur shariat ku akal par ghalib rakho." That all the time keep your intelligence above your desires. Your desires will tell you, hey, there's a beautiful woman walking on the street. Let me walk behind her. Let me try and make contact. Your intelligence will tell you, no, you are married man. How can you do a stupid thing? If your children come to know, your wife come to know, you'll become disgraced. So if you follow your intelligence, you'll get saved. And then he says, now don't make your intelligence your God. When it comes to the command of Allah, now you want to know what's the wisdom of 2 rakats namaz. What's the wisdom of 4 rakats namaz? It's the command of Allah. Your intelligence is too unlimited to understand the wisdom of the command of Allah. A servant of Allah is that person that just wholeheartedly accepts, is my creator, it's my Rabbah, I will accept his command. So anyway, Hazrat Mu'atani Rahmatullah Ali says, Akal ku shariat ku akal par gharib rakho. Keep the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above your intelligence. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam also, the command of Allah ta'ala, he started making those 1,000 clay pots. After making those 1,000 clay pots, can you imagine how many days it must have taken him? How lot effort behind it. After he made all the 1,000 clay pots, Allah ta'ala sent one wind and they all got destroyed. Imagine Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam felt very hurt in his heart. He made dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, all my effort, what one wind you destroyed all that. Allah ta'ala wanted to show Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and a lesson for all of us, how much love Allah has got for his creation, particularly for insan, ashraful makhlukat. Allah ta'ala says, oh Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, you got so much pain for your clay pots that you made with your own hands. Insan khalaqtuka biyaday. Insan, I made you special with my special attention. When Allah says, I created you with your hands, Allah doesn't have hands like us. Allah's special rahmat, Allah's special attention, Allah created insan. So Allah says, oh Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, I created insan with my own hands, and you made dua, oh Allah, destroy all these unbelieving people. I had to destroy him, but do you know how I felt in my heart? That Allah, I felt so much pain I had. So that is how much love Allah ta'ala has got for us. So in this ayat, Allah ta'ala is saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Allah ta'ala says, ulama sitting, they will know that lam with a zabar comes for stress in Arabic. The word qad also comes for stress. So Allah ta'ala is saying, laqad, with great stress. And this is a sign of affection also. Allah ta'ala says, laqad kana lakum fi rasulillah uswatun hasana. And the way the sentence have been composed also, Allah said, "Fi Rasulillah uswatun hasana." Allah Ta'ala is showing us that only and only in the Mubarak lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for you. But who will understand this? Liman kana yarju Allah. Those people who desire to meet Allah. Those people who desire to make their connection with Allah Ta'ala. Those people who realize that tomorrow the day of Qiyamah is coming. We want to meet Allah. We want to have the company of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Those people will realize what a great order and what a great beautiful affection command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is. And this is not just a command. This is such a thing. Allahu Akbar. My Shaykh says Allah Ta'ala has given us a deen that it suits us. Everybody desires that I must be respectable in society. I must be honored. People must look after me. Youngsters desire I must be like a star. Everybody must know I'm a shining star. Allah Ta'ala also desires that for us. And Allah Ta'ala says, today we think we'll become stars, especially youngsters, that if I follow this sports star, if I follow that film star, if I follow that particular politician, whatever, and now the way he dresses, I want to dress. The way he combs his hair, I want to comb his hair. That if he combs his hair the spunky style, spike style, then I will also do that. Now I'll even be shy to put on my topi. What will happen to my hair? Allah Rabbul Izzat says, don't be fools. Those are not stars. Those people haven't even realized their own reality. A real star, a real personality. If you want to become a star, if you want to become an outstanding person, then there is nobody more beautiful than Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nobody's character that can be more outstanding than Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want to see this, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has mentioned, Ashabi kan nujum, fabi'ayyim iqtadaytum iqtadaytum. That look at my sahaba. Once upon a time, they were in the doldrums of tyranny and oppression. They didn't know what is the reality of insaniyat. All types of evil prevailed. But when I presented them my beautiful way of life, I presented them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they started following my way of life, Allah ta'ala had to announce, Rijalun sadaku ma'ahadullah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah Rabbul Izzat says, if you want to look at men, we think we are men. Man is not just this outward form. Man is those people who have got reality in their heart. If you take 2-3 bottles, beautiful bottles, they're very expensive also. But the bottle, the value of that bottle is not just the outward the beauty of the bottle, what you fill in that bottle, that is the beauty of the bottle. For example, you got a very beautiful bottle, $500. It looks so nice, but if you fill urine in that, now what's the value of that bottle? Does anybody want to buy that bottle? Nobody wants to buy that. Whole value of that bottle drop because of that urine. Or if you buy a bottle that's only $10, but you fill pure musk ether in there. You fill amber, wood ether in there. Now the value of that bottle has gone to $1,000. So exactly the same. Allah Ta'ala says, insan, your value is not just your outward stature and your beauty, that now you're only worried of your physical condition. You're even going to the gym to keep yourself healthy. Your value is actually your ruh, what we have sent down from. And your ruh, if you bring alive in your ruh, and you bring in your lifestyle, the Mubarak lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Allah Ta'ala penetrates your heart, then no matter how you look outwardly, Allah Ta'ala's your value will increase by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, look at Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Outwardly he had no beauty. He was dark in complexion also. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on the occasion for Miraj, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh Bilal, what good action are you doing? That in Jannat I'm hearing your footsteps behind me." Allahu Akbar. Look at the status of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Hazrat Bilal radiallahu says, "Yes, oh Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's that action which you have taught us, that we should try and remain in wuzu all the time, and after wuzu, we should try and read 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu. So whenever I make wuzu, immediately after that I read 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, that is that action that has made you so valuable, that in Jannat already you're following me." So anyway, if we also want to become valuable, then what we bring into our lives, that will bring make us value. My Dara Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtasaf Daman Barakatum's beautiful poem, and many beautiful poems he has mentioned with regard to the importance of sunnat. But one beautiful poem he mentions, Madina ki nisbat hai qeemat meri. Madina ki nisbat hai qeemat meri. Wagar na haqeeqat mein saste hai hum. He says, how much we attach our lifestyle to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how much our value will increase. Otherwise, in reality, we got no value. And to understand this with a very simple example, Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib Daman Barakatum, the son of our Dada Sheikh, also a very great Buzurg, the Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, take your example, your value is like if you go to a brickyard and they're selling a lot of different types of bricks. The value of that brick is not the price of that brick. If a brick is $10, $20, $50, $100, you paid $100 for the brick. That is not the actual value of that brick. It depends where you're going to use that brick. If you bought a $100 brick and you used it in a toilet, now that's the value of that brick. It has dropped. The value has dropped so much. If you bought a $2 brick and you used it in your house, now you value that brick so much. Nobody must damage that brick, etc. And if you bought a $10 brick and you used it in the masjid, now how valuable is that brick? And if you bought a brick that is $50 and you used it in Haram Sharif, how valuable isn't that brick? So similarly, all human beings are on the earth, we all like those bricks, but where we use ourselves, if we attach ourselves to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now our value has increased tremendously. Our value is increased so much, we can't imagine. And respected elders and friends, the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so beautiful. They are so easy, and it is the most perfect way of life. For example, one very beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, living in the so-called modern Western way of life, all their type of advertisements, etc., we have forgotten this beautiful way of life, and that is, for example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to greet. In fact, Allah Rabbul Izzah teaches us in the Quran Kareem, وَإِذَا خُيِّتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَهَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْرُدُّهَا, that when somebody greets you, then greet them in a better greeting, or in the same greeting, or at least in a better greeting. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that when you greet somebody, then say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That you're giving this person a dua. Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's peace be with you. And another meaning of salam is one of the names of Allah. That Allah be with you. What more do you want? When you're leaving your house and you're going to job, you don't know whether you're going to come back or not. You don't know what's going to be the condition of your family. You say, Assalamu alaikum, you're telling them, I'm leaving Allah with you. And they say, for you, alaykum as-salam, they say, we're leaving Allah with you also. What a beautiful greeting. But today, let us see, generally, we have forgotten to make salam. We feel shy to make salam. So sad the condition of the ummah. You go to Haramain Sharifain also, you will hardly hear people making salam. Whereas Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, afshus salam, make salam prevalent among yourself. Today we say there's no muhabbat amongst people. There's no unity. One simple way of bringing unity, bring alive the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this will strengthen your iman. This will bring love in your heart for one another. Today, what is our way of greeting? Look at the kuffar way of greeting. Good morning, good evening. Just take the example of good morning. If it is a cold winter's morning, and the poor old man, he's got an appointment by the doctor, he's very sick, and when he comes out of his house, his car has got a puncture. Now he can't even move, he's sick himself, it is very cold, and you, the neighbor, you're passing by, and you look at him, good morning. So in other words, you're telling him very good what has happened to you. So is that a good thing to say? How bad it is. Whereas if you told him, assalamu alaikum, that may Allah's peace be with you. All your problems Allah will solve. Allah will solve your sickness also. Your car also Allah Ta'ala will solve your problem. And Allah Ta'ala will make the weather also comfortable for you. What a beautiful greeting we have got. What a beautiful deen we have got. But we are trading in something that is so valuable for something that has got no value whatsoever. Is that a sign of intelligence or stupidity? If you got a car that is troubling you now, now you'll go trade in for a better car. No person goes and trading his car for a car that got more problems. So we are trading in our beloved lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is so beautiful. We are trading it for that lifestyle which has got no value whatsoever. So let us realize and understand. That is why the value of the ummah has dropped in the eyes of everybody. We ourselves don't know our value. And once again, if we bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wallah, see Allah Ta'ala will increase our value. And we'll also get that high position, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regard to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. If you want to look at real men, people who really prove themselves, then go back in the corridors of history. Go and look in history and you'll find, nowhere in the history of mankind were there such a loyal group of companions to any Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Until the day of Qiyamah, you won't get anybody to match them as far as their love is concerned, as far as their obedience is concerned, as far as their sacrifice is concerned for the beloved Nabi and for Allah Rabbul Izzah. So we should imitate those type of people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Ashabi kan nujum, fabi'ayyim ihtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahaba were like guiding stars, more brighter than the stars in the sky were my sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Each one of them, any one of them you follow, you imitate, you will also become a star. So respected elders and friends, let us get our priorities in proper perspective. Let us understand who we are. Allahu Akbar. Sahib-e Qasida Burda has written a very, very beautiful poem, Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Alayh, in praises of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And because of the barakat of that poem, Allah Ta'ala granted him shifa. He was suffering from leprosy. Anyway, in one couplet he writes, Bushra lana ya ma'ashara al-Islami inna lana. Bushra lana ya ma'ashara al-Islami inna lana. Min al-inayati ruknan ghayra munhadami. That O people of Islam, Bushra, glad tidings for you, Ya Masal Islam, Inna lana min al inayati, from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one very special favor, Ruknan ghayra munhadami, we've got such a pillar to hold on and to follow that nobody can break down that pillar. That is the pillar of the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bi akramir rusuli kunna akramal umami lamma da'allahu da'ina li ta'atihi bi akramir rusuli kunna akramal umami. He says, when Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with the da'wat of Allah and he said, follow me, because Allah ta'ala says, if you follow me and you make your lifestyle like my lifestyle, because of the greatest Nabi you have got, you will become the greatest ummah. So our dependence of being the greatest ummah is not just by mere namesake, how much we attach ourselves to the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. This is a very, very important subject. We can talk about it for our whole life. It's not sufficient. Very, very important. Like my Shaykh says, Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahab Daum Barakatum always reminds us, he says, to talk is very easy. To listen is also very easy. More important is practice to bring it into our lives. When we make this niyat, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us. And Allah will assist us to bring it into our lives. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. Further, very quickly, we'll try and just give the brief translation of this ayat and a brief explanation in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the third ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing mankind in general. In the first ruku of Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala has made mention, there are three groups of people. When Allah creates people, now you get divided into three groups. Allah has given us intelligence, and Allah Ta'ala has shown us the two parts, the part of Hidayat, the part of Shaitan that is going to take us astray. And Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence. And Allah said very clearly, La ikraha fid deen. There's no force in deen. Use your intelligence, now it's up to you. If you use your intelligence correctly, you come on the part of Hidayat, very good for you. And if you use your intelligence wrongly, and you think you are a very intellectual person, not realizing you are an intellectual fool, then you'll go on the part of Shaitan. And you'll have all types of arguments. You'll have all type of debate to put forward. And the third group in between, which is a very dangerous group. So the first group, which are the real favorites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبُ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. That is the true believers, the mu'mineen, who bring iman, who obey Allah ta'ala's commands. Allah ta'ala says that is the best group. The second group, which is very, very clear to distinguish, Allah ta'ala says the kafirin, those who don't bring iman in Allah ta'ala. They're not prepared to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the height of stupidity and foolishness. A person who creates you, Allah Rabbul Izzat, who has created us, our life is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we forget our creator. How sad is that condition? It's supposed to be natural, without even us being told. Even if Allah didn't reveal Quran Sharif, it should be natural that we should be turning towards our Allah Rabbul Izzat. And the third group, which is a very, very dangerous group, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned 13 ayats in detail. With regard to the first two groups, 2-3 ayats Allah has mentioned, these are the qualities of the believers, these are the qualities of the non-believers. You can distinguish these two groups very clearly. So stay in the group of the believers. Then Allah Ta'ala says there's an in-between group which is called the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. This is very, very dangerous. These are such people that outwardly pretend to be Muslims. They'll even take oaths. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to be even punctual with their namazes, and they used to even sometimes go out with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in expeditions. But these are people that had kufr lurking in their heart. They did not have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, this is a very, very dangerous quality, and these are dangerous people. Stay away from these people, and you yourself all the time check that this dangerous quality of nifaq doesn't come into your heart. And this is such a quality, Allahu Akbar. We shouldn't feel satisfied that I'm a Muslim, I don't have nifaq. All the time we should be worried. Hazrat Huzaifata ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the secret keeper of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And when Allah Rabbul Izzat revealed the names of all the hypocrites to Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, today we cannot judge and don't pass remarks that anybody is a hypocrite. Because today we have got no certainties to say this person is a hypocrite or not. That was the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala sent down wahi, revelation. And Allah Ta'ala clearly mentioned the names to Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, that these are hypocrites, be careful of them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the list of those names to his secret keeper, Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The second greatest person after all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Every now and then he used to go to Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what he used to say? He says, Oh Huzaifa, I don't want to know the names of the munafiqeen. All I want to know is my name not there. Allahu Akbar. This was his concern all the time. His iman was of such a high level. When he used to walk on one side of the road, it comes clearly in the narration, Shaitan used to run away. That this man, I can't, there's no way I can even come near to try and mislead him. So that was the quality of the iman of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And not only him, one great tabi'i, Ibn Mulaika radiallahu ta'ala rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions that I met in my lifetime 30 sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Each one of them were concerned and they had fikr that we hope nifaq doesn't enter our hearts. We hope we don't have nifaq and hypocrisy in our hearts. So we should be very, very careful. And there are two types of nifaq. One is nifaq itiqadi, that as far as your beliefs are concerned, that you don't have iman in your heart, but you're just pretending to be a Muslim. Because you want to deceive them and you want to cause them harm, so you pretend to be a Muslim. This is total, this type of nifaq is extremely dangerous. Allah says their condition is, إِنَّ مُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be in the lowest depths of Jahannam. The most severe punishment will be for such people. And the second type of nifaq is nifaqi amali. That means you got iman in your heart, but now you feel shy to love like a Muslim. You feel shy to dress like a Muslim. You feel shy to behave like a Muslim. That is also very dangerous. Each one of us, myself, all of us, continuously we should be checking ourselves. Don't I have that qualities of nifaq? That I have an inferiority complex? I feel shy. How can I go to an important meeting with an Islamic dress? I have to go with a three-piece suit. I can't wear a beard if I go to important meetings, etc. That type of shyness, that is a sign that we still haven't realized the value of Islam. We haven't realized the value of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A true believer should not be shy at all. This is the most beautiful way of life. So if you adopt it with the niyyah that other people can also see me and get attracted, you'll get double sawab. One for obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one for the intention of dawah. And the best dawah is not just by speech, the best dawah is by action. Action speaks louder than words. So Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. So after Allah has mentioned these three groups of people, now Allah ta'ala again addresses all three groups. That what is your way to get success? What is your way to get closeness to Allah ta'ala? Now Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas. All three groups, O mu'mineen, O kuffar, O munafiqeen, O budu rabbakum. Make ibadat of your Rabb and Allah Akbar. Yeah, what the Quran's eloquence we can't understand. The beauty of Quran is something beyond our understanding. It's so beautiful. Allah has given the command and the reason for the command also. For example, you tell your son, go to the shop, but you don't tell him for what. He doesn't know for what I must go to the shop. So an intelligent person is, you give a command and you tell him why to do this. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given his command and the reason for his command is inside that command. Allah Ta'ala said, O Budu, make ibadat of your Rabb. Why should you make ibadat of your Rabb? Rabb is that great being who brought you from non-existence into existence. Rabb is that great being who is looking after you, who is taking care of you every split moment. He is blessing you with special favors. So shouldn't you be making ibadat of your Rabb? Shouldn't you be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time? That this is my Rabb. He is Allahu Akbar. Any person does good to you. For example, a person goes to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, and he thinks of you there. You didn't tell him, you just met him before he left, but you didn't tell him anything, bring me a hadiah or anything. But when he went there, he thought of you, he brought one topi for you. He brought one shalwar, one scarf for you, one shawl for you. And when he brought and he presented to you, you got so happy. Ah, look at my friend. He didn't forget me in Makkah Sharif also. In Medina Sharif, he thought of me. And you feel so happy. And you tell everybody about him. This is a real friend, man. See how he thought of me. He brought the topi for me special. He brought the scarf for me special. And you're going on praising him. My Shaykh says, no problem. You should praise somebody who does good for you. You should be grateful. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. If you don't learn to thank people, you won't learn to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us become more intelligent. That not only go on praising this person, that he brought you that scarf, he brought you that topi, that we don't forget. But we forget that great being who gave us the head to put on the topi, to put on that scarf. If you didn't have your head, then where you should put that scarf? Where you should put that topi on? And Allah didn't give us an empty head. Allah Ta'ala gave us a head full of brains. And today Allah gave us these brains, but we using these brains not to get closer to Allah. We want to debate against the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't give us our brains. And Allah Ta'ala didn't let our screws half loose that people can make a mockery of us. That we like mad people. Allah talked our screws also properly. So Allah tied our head also properly. That we can use our brains properly. Don't think they are real screws. You go home and you see your wife's screws are loose. You want to tighten it. No. Make shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. That oh Allah, you gave me this head. You gave me this brains. You gave me this eyes free of charge. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that realize who is your Rabb. Who is your creator. Who is your sustainer. In whose control is your life. Allahu Akbar. Many a times we see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam want to mention important things to the Sahaba. How he used to present it? Wallazi nafsi biyadi. In that being, in whose control is my life? In whose control is everything of mine? So when we realize that totally we are under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every split second, and Allah is so loving, Allah is so kind, Allah is so generous, Allah Rabbul Izzat is so tolerant, Allah ta'ala only wants to send down mercy upon us. So Allah ta'ala is telling us how to draw the mercy of Allah, how to become the close friends of Allah ta'ala. When you become the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, Allah ta'ala will take care of all your affairs. Allah ta'ala will look after you in dunya. When you go to the qabr, you'll get a royal entourage. You'll get royal treatment coming to call you. And what can be said in the year after? So Allah ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum. The normal translation of ubudu, ibadat karo. What is the brief, the detail of it? Long detail, but briefly we'll explain what is the detail just now. So Allah ta'ala is saying, ubudu rabbakum. Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Make ibadat of your Rabb who created you. Allah who brought you into existence. Allah ta'ala who created you. Alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. And those people who came before you, that is from the time of Adam alayhi salatu salam, all the human beings, the best of all my creation, ashraful makhlukat, I have created you. I am your Rabb. Normally a person has got attachment to his mother because you have come out from your mother and your mother looks after you. She takes care of you. More care than your mother, Allah Ta'ala is taking care of us. Your mother didn't even know which time you were conceived in her womb. Only after a while when she went for checkup, then the doctor told her, yes, you are pregnant. You are going to give birth to a child very soon. She didn't even know. Allah Ta'ala is the one who created us from what? From that one droplet of sperm. One dirty, filthy droplet. Allah Ta'ala made the material of our brains. Allah Ta'ala made from one that dirty droplet of sperm, of semen. Allah Ta'ala made the material of the heart. Allah Ta'ala made the material of the skull that is so hard, it can protect the brains. Allah made the material of the rib cage that can protect the heart, the lungs, etc. Allah made the material of all our bones. Allah made the material of all our muscles, of the hair, from what? From one droplet of sperm, of semen. That is our Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says we have created all the human beings like that. One model, not like technology today. They make one model of a car and they say this is the ultimate in technology. The next year what they come, they're changing the headlamps, they're changing the grills, and now they say this is ultimate in technology. If that was ultimate, why do we have to change it? And every year they're changing the models, just changing the grill here, the headlamps, and they say that is the ultimate in technology. Allah Rabbul Izzat created one human being, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah Ta'ala said, this is my ultimate model. Allah didn't change the headlamps, Allah didn't change the grill, Allah didn't change anything. Every insan, his eyes are in the same place, his ears are in the same place, his nose is in the same place, but look at Allah's kudrat. Millions and billions of insan, but Allah Ta'ala has made you all looking beautiful, but each one can be distinguished. You know exactly who's Ahmad, who's Muhammad, who's Ibrahim, etc. Everybody's fingerprints, Allah Ta'ala has made different. Who can do that? Only our Allah Rabbul Izzat. That is why I tell today and tell the day of Qiyamah, nobody can ever claim that they have created a human being. Only Allah and any other creation. Scientists are making a lot of claims that they will claim clone an animal, clone a sheep, clone this. They can try till Qiyamah. They can never create like Allah Rabbul Izzat. It is impossible. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, when you realize who your Rabb is, you gain the marifat, the recognition of your Allah, the love of Allah Ta'ala will come in your heart. Naturally, what will be the great result and what will be the great well that you will get? Obudu Rabbakum, alladhi khalakakum, walladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattakun. So that normally in Arabic, the word la'allakum means so that. But actually Mufassirin have mentioned, when Allah Ta'ala says so that, it means certainly I will grant it to you. So if you make my ibadat, then la'allakum tattaqoon. The end result will be, definite result will be, I will grant you the wealth of taqwa. And what is the wealth of taqwa in reality? In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The friends of Allah Ta'ala are only those people who have got taqwa. And taqwa in reality is what? that to realize how kind Allah is, how loving Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala has created me free of charge, without deserving it. Allah made me ashraful makhlukat. So shouldn't I have that amount of understanding and senses? Shouldn't I have that amount of reality? If Allah is so kind, how can I do anything that Allah is displeased with me? So all the time be conscious that I must be in the obedience of Allah, and not for a moment I must move out of the disobedience of Allah. And after all, I'm a human being. If I make a mistake, sometimes shaitan will mislead me and I commit a sin. Immediately make tawbah. That is how kind our Allah is. That immediately you make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala again says, no, this is my friend. He doesn't forget me. It's like a person, you made your ghusl for Jummah, you wore your beautiful clothes, and now you're walking on the road, and there's a puddle of water, and you slip and you fall in there. And now you become mess. Now you don't say, oh, I'm messed up, what am I going to do? I can't go for Jummah namaz. Very quickly you'll run home, straight into the washroom, you'll have your bath again, you'll wear clean clothes, and you'll rush to the masjid. So exactly the same, when our taqwa get messed up, that means we get involved in certain guna. Don't do it intentionally. Don't have intentional hopes, like one of our great sheikhs of South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Daun Barakatum says, don't have that kind, don't make dua in that way, that, oh Allah, please forgive me, oh Allah, I want to change my life, but you got casino chips in your pocket, that you know after the dua, I'm still going back to the casino. That is not tawbah. That you are trying to play the fool with Allah, and you can't play the fool with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you say, oh Allah, I'm not going to commit guna, but you still got that girl's phone number in your pocket, and immediately after the baran, I'm going to contact her, I'm going to SMS her. That is not taqwa. Taqwa is by mistake, you have no intention of committing sin, and you make a firm pledge with Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I promise, I won't do this sin again, and oh Allah, I ask you to help me. But if perchance shaitan is going to mislead us, we are not farishtas, and Allah knows this is my maal, I created you, I know how weak are you, you just walk little in the street, you're going to get misled, you're going to get overtaken by advertisements, and then if you fall into a trap again, you look at a ghair mahram woman, you committed baznazri, immediately lower your gazes, make tawbah, make istighfar, and in this way, all the time you'll be living in taqwa. That means you'll be the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to all the time be close to Allah, to become the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What effort you have to do, that make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadat is, in reality, it's got three meanings. One is the general meaning which we understand, ibadat, namaz, roza, zakat, etc. That is one level of ibadat. A very higher level of ibadat is abdiyat, that you realize I'm the slave of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has created me, I belong to Allah Ta'ala. I'm Allah Ta'ala's slave. So when you're the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the duty of a slave? All the time he should be concerned and worried, how can I fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah Ta'ala has made me a slave, I have to fulfill the rights of everybody else. I have to be fulfilling the rights of my parents, the rights of my fellow human beings, the rights of my friends, my neighbors, everybody. I have to be good to them because I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One example of this, of what is a true slave, in those days, in the early days of Islam, there were still slaves available. You could buy a slave and it becomes your property. It's in your ownership, so you can do with that slave as you please. So Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, one day he needed a slave. So he went to the market, he bought a slave. And he didn't ask that slave his name or anything. Till he came home, then he spoke to the slave and he said, oh my slave, what is your name? So what a beautiful answer he gave. He says, oh master, what choice does a slave have? Whatever name the master wants to call him, that's his name. He's got no choice. Hazrat Hassan Basri was surprised. What a slave is this? He asked him, oh my slave, what will you like to eat? He said, oh my master, what choice has a slave got? If the master gives him food, he should be happy, he should eat. And if the master doesn't give him food, he doesn't deserve the food also. So he's got no choice. Hazrat Hassan Basri was more astonished and surprised. Then he said, oh my slave, what clothes would you like to wear? Similar answer he gave. What choice has a slave got? Then he asked him, where would you like to sleep? He said, what choice has a slave got? If the master allows him to sleep, then he can sleep. And if the master doesn't allow him to sleep, he's got no choice whatsoever. Allahu Akbar. Immediately Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi told him, just wait here. He went into his house. He brought some gifts. He brought some presents. He gave it to him. And he said, this is for you. And from now you are freed. You are freed now. You see, he was surprised and shocked. Oh master, I didn't even work for you. You freed me. He says, you taught me the greatest lesson of my life. If you realize that the slave has got no choice, you have taught me how to be the slave of my real master, Allah Rabbul Izzah. Allah has created us. When Allah says it's the month of Ramadan, whether it's winter or summer, we have no choice. We shouldn't even make some foolish statements that why should we starve? Why should we keep so long rozas, etc.? Allah Ta'ala wants to give us special favors. That is why Allah Ta'ala is blessing us with these occasions. And Allah Rabbul Izzat, whatever Allah Ta'ala has made haram for us, it's only and only beneficial for us. Because those things that are haram are very, very harmful. That is why Allah Ta'ala made it haram. But Allah knows our weak intelligence. We won't understand it ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala made it haram. Whatever Allah Ta'ala made for us, those are extremely necessary and very, very good for us. But because our limited minds cannot understand it, that is why Allah Ta'ala made it for us. Like 5 times namaz. In there lies our success. Allah Ta'ala even announced specially that all believers, come to Salah, come to Allah Ta'ala's house, in here is your success. But we still don't understand it, and still we miss our Salat wholesale. After Ramadan, let it not be such. Ramadan, we used to take our time for our namaz punctually, and after Ramadan, we think our work is more important. No, our success lies here. And the third explanation of Ubudu Rabbakum, make ibadat of your Allah, means that you realize that one is you the slave of Allah, and one is, ibadat means to totally submit to Allah. That wholesale, I submit myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person does that, he becomes totally humble. That you humble yourself in front of Allah ta'ala. As I explained, whatever the command of Allah ta'ala is, totally you accept it. With total humbleness. And what is the sign of that? That as you making ibadat, it must not bring pride in your heart. It must bring more humbleness in your heart. If ibadat is bringing pride, that I have said for 10 itikafs, I have said for 15 itikafs, then you are on the wrong track. You are fooling yourself. That is why, in order to bring this humbleness, to get this true ibadat in our lives, Allah Ta'ala said, this will bring you taqwa. And where will you get true taqwa? Kunu masadiqeen. Be what the true servants of Allah. Those who have got this taqwa, those who have got the love of Allah, those who have got this tawadu, if you sit in their company also, and mom, even better, if you make somebody your spiritual guide, and he will teach you how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see, true abdiyat will come in your life. You will become the true slave of Allah. You will become very humble. The more you make progress in getting close to Allah, the more humbleness will come in your life. And you see the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were much more close to Allah. As you get recognize Allah's greatness, you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you worried that I mustn't have slipped somewhere, that Allah will take me to task. So much Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua, Rabbi la tuzini yawma yubathun. Imagine the close friend of Allah, but he's saying, Allah, please don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. And we make little ibadat, we think we are very pious, we are very great sheikhs. Look at those people, they never even read Tarawih namaz, they never even keep roza, etc. Passing those type of remarks are very, very dangerous. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah has mentioned another very, very beautiful statement. He said, Nek banna faraz hai, apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. Because your results will only come out on the day of Qiyamah. A foolish student is, he hardly finished his exam paper and he's telling all his friends there, I got distinctions, I got 100%. That's a stupid, foolish student. That student is that student who studied hard the whole year. He worked hard. He studied for his exam. He very attentively and with all his intelligence, he answered his paper. And then when he gave it in, now he's worried that I hope the examiner checks my paper properly. I hope I didn't make mistakes. And then when he gets his result, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَيَقُولُ أُمُكْرَهُ كِتَابِيَ. That those people on the day of Qiyamah, when they will get their book of deeds in their right hands, then they will be allowed to boast, and they will tell everybody, yes, come read my reward. You are saying, why I'm keeping a sunnat beard? Why is your wife in parda and covering herself with veil? It's a modern day age. You shouldn't do that. If you kept quiet, like Allah Ta'ala says, wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. The beautiful explanation of this in English is, the one who laughs the best. That let people say what they want to. If you can explain to them that it is important. It's not just sunnah to keep a beard. It is wajib according to every imam. No imam has ever said that no, it is sunnah or it's mustahab. If you don't keep it, it's no sin. To keep one first length beard from below the chin, one first length, from all sides. You keep your beard neat and tidy. But when you need to trim it, from all sides you should matter. What is more than a first, that you are allowed to trim. What is less than a first, to shave it or cut it, it is haram. And if we don't realize, we think we're making ibadat, we're reading tahajjud namaz, we're in itikaf, but we are not in the, we're not the slaves of Allah. Allah has commanded, keep a beard, we got some reservations. No, it doesn't look nice. And remember, la ta'ata li makhluqin fi masiyatil khaliq. You can't obey any creation in the disobedience of Allah. Whether your wife tell you don't look nice with the beard or what, don't worry. Her eyes are still not right. As you keep it, you make dua, don't tell her anything bad. Or if she wants to keep parda, many times the husband tell her, oh, you want to wear parda, then you don't come with me shopping. I'm too shy. How you look? You look like you're very scary. She has to wear that parda. And we should encourage one another. Allah says when you get to, you want to become the friend of Allah, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help one another in establishing the taqwa, in becoming the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be people who help one another in ism al udwan, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we assist one another in these things, Allahu Akbar, Allah's special rahmat will come. So we have to learn how to be the slaves of Allah. When Allah says, oh man, keep your trousers, your garments above your ankles, then we shouldn't ask questions. Why is it? It looks out of fashion. Today, ulta ganga chal raha hai. Woman, where Allah Ta'ala has commanded that cover your bodies properly. Cover your ankles also. This is a zamana of fitna. Cover your hands also. Cover your faces also. Today the woman want to walk out with their whole legs open. And men who must keep their ankles open, we want to keep our ankles down. Whereas Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, Ma aswala min al-izari min al-kabain fa finnar. Those people who keep their trousers, their garments below their ankles, that part is going to Jahannam. Now we in namaz, we're supposed to be drawing the rahmat of Allah. We say in roza, we're supposed to be getting Allah's special favors and mercies. And we are being deprived, we're depriving ourselves. So very, very important is to find the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn our deen, and most important, to be eager that we are the slaves of Allah, I must become a true servant of Allah. And Allah must grant me tawazu, humbleness. Man tawaza lillah rafa'ullah. Whoever humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah ta'ala raises such a person. Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. Life is extremely short. We got few minutes of life. We have to make the spirit of our imtihan such a way that we can boast tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah when we get our results in our right hand. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin. Sayyidina wa habibina wa shafina wa mulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے مولا کریم, اے کریم داتا, آپ نے بہت انعامات سے نوازا ہے اور ہر سکن آپ انعامات سے ہم نوازتے ہیں یا اللہ, لیکن ہمارے کم عقلی اور کم فہمی کی وجہ سے ہم نے کسی نعمت کی قدر نہیں کی. اے مولا کریم معاف فرما دے یا اللہ. اے مولا کریم معاف فرما دے, ہمارے دلوں کی آنکھوں کو کھول دے یا اللہ. اپنی معرفت نصیب فرما, اپنی عظمت محبت نصیب فرما, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی معرفت عظمت محبت اطاعت نصیب فرما دے. اے مولا کریم اپنے مقربین میں سے بنا دے یا اللہ, اس کہنے سننے کو قبول فرما دے یا اللہ. مائی مبارک بھی ہے, چند آخری سیکنڈ گری بھی ہے یا اللہ. یا اللہ بے انتہا کٹائی ہوا ہے یا اللہ, ہم پر خطا بھی ہے, آپ جانتے بھی ہے یا اللہ, لیکن آپ کو بہت کریم ذات ہے یا اللہ. اپنی شان قبولیت سے تمام کٹائی کو پاک صاف فرما دے, آپ کے شان کے مطابق اس کو قبول فرما دے یا اللہ. بطور کارگزاری نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو پیش فرما دے, ہماری نجات کا سبب بنا دے, ہمارا قرب کا سبب بنا دے یا اللہ. یا اللہ اپنا قرب کا مزہ چکھا, اپنا قرب کا مزہ چکھا لے, پھر کبھی رنج دوری میں نہ کر مبتلا یا اللہ. گناہ سے باز آنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, ہر گناہ کی صحیح علم نصیب ہو اور اس سے بچنے کی توفیق عطا فرما یا اللہ. نیکی کی طرف ہمیں کھینچ دے یا اللہ, ہم چاہے نہ چاہے ہماری پیشانی کے بال سے ہمیں کھینچ کر اپنی طرف لے آؤ یا اللہ. اے اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جا, ہمارا بن جا, اپنا بنا لے یا اللہ. امت کی حال پر رحم کرم فرما دے, پورے عالم میں پورے امت کو گناہ سے باز آنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, ہوا ہدایت کی ہوا چلا دے, رحمت کی بارش برسا دے ہم پر یا اللہ. اے اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جا, تمام فتنے سے پوری پوری حفاظت فرما دے یا اللہ. یا اللہ جن کو جو پریشانی ہے آپ زیادہ جانتے ہیں یا اللہ, سب کے پریشانی کو دور فرما, سب کے جائز حاجات کو پورا فرما, خزائن غیب سے یا اللہ, یا اللہ ایک دن مرنا ہے, آخر موت ہے یا اللہ, حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرما, کلمہ شہادت کے ساتھ نصیب فرما, ہمارے حشر تمام ایک لوگ کے ساتھ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے جھنڈے تلے نصیب فرما, اور ہمیشہ آخرت میں آپ کے دیدار نصیب فرما دیا اللہ, نبی کریم صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم کی حضوری نصیب فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم, سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.